Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sanyavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Trishe Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Vananami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottama Devin Sarasatim Vasa Tato Jaya Mudiyajit Jakaroti Bachalam Pangolangaya Tegiring Aski Patamahang Bande Sigurung Dinatarinang Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Iswaram Hari Om Tatsat Yang Yang Vapi Smanan Bhavam Taja dante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kunteya sadatan bhava bhavitaha. Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila Vaichandra Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter 8, verse 6. My name is Jayapataka Swami. I live in the world headquarters of ISKCON Mayapur. And Every year I go on a different tours to different temples to encourage the devotees and answer questions. So this is a brief visit here in Cape Town. Very happy to see such a big turnout of devotees. Sorry for coming late. I was actually advising some devotees and we lost track of the time. While I'm here, I'm trying to see as many devotees as want to see me and give them personal guidance as well. So today we read from this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very important verse because it gives us an insight into how the law of transmigration of the soul works. That what we think about at the time when we leave this body is a very, very crucial thing, because that's like the sum total and the end of our whole life. Now, what is the thing we're thinking of when we leave our body? What's the most important thing for us at that moment? You don't want it to be an accident to thinking about some. You really want to be able to focus at that moment. And in this case, where one person who was practicing spiritual life, Abhag Maharaj, he had developed extreme affection for a deer. A mother deer was surprised by, shocked by a lightning bolt, and she jumped and died while giving childbirth to the baby doe. Right in the ashram of Bhag Maharaj. So then he took the doe up as a project to just save the baby deer. So the baby deer looked to this devotee meditating as his mother. Didn't know anybody else. He was feeding the deer. And so then it became more than, you know, it should have. Like sometimes he would play that he was meditating, but actually be thinking, is the deer watching me now? And be like playing with the deer, you know, and then the deer would come up and start licking him while he was meditating. And so they became very attached to this pet deer. And then at the time of death, he was thinking, you know, who's going to take care of the deer? I mean, like deers, you know, they don't. But he was worried, you know, there may be wolves and this and that. So, because of thinking at the time when we leave our body, we should really be focusing on God. We should focus on Krishna. But he was focusing on the deer, and then the deer was coming and licking him when he was on his deathbed, and smelling him. And so, because at that time, he didn't focus on God, so he's focusing on the deer, he became took birth as a deer. But because he had practiced so much Krishna consciousness, it wasn't lost. And he could remember his previous life as a human, as a king, and how he renounced his entire empire to practice spiritual life. But then because of this attachment to the deer, he carelessly thought of the deer at the time of death instead of Krishna. And he took birth as a deer. But so he could remember all this. So then, you know, he was like really feeling foolish, like, you know, this is not why I did all these things, was to become a deer and eat grass in the forest. So the next life, he was born as Jarabharat, which, because he could remember the previous two births, so this time he was determined, I'm not going to blow it now, I'm not going to, you know, this is, he became very antisocial. Because he was very paranoid that I don't want to get, I got attached to a deer, look what happened. So he didn't talk to anybody. His parents thought he's a fool. He refused to talk to any, just like, yes, mom, yes, dad. Like very introverted. He's always just thinking how to be being Krishna conscious, and I don't want to blow it. I don't want to make a mistake. And so they didn't know, you know, we got this useless son, he doesn't talk to anybody, he's very quiet, you know. So they put him to watch the fields, to scare away the birds from the crops. they do that in Africa? In India, you have people sit with cans, bang, 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 they pound the cans and they scare away the birds. Or nowadays, sometimes they use firecrackers. But someone's there to keep the birds from. It's amazing. I mean, in India, I saw must have been 100,000 sparrows just go, whoom, just land on the, and they'll just devour a rice crop in no time. And so then you start making noise and they fly off. In fact, there's a verse in the Nectar of Devotion that says when you chant and dance, when chanting Hare Krishna and you clap your hands, just like when people clap their hands and the birds fly off, as many karmas fly off from your account, your bad karmas, as while you're chanting and clapping your hands, as birds will fly off from the field. So it's a good impetus to... Hare Krishna! So, he was sitting there on the side of the field and he's meditating on Krishna and chanting to himself. And but he looked, you know, he just purposely tried to look as stupid as he could so people wouldn't engage him in any kind of nonsense discussion. But as it would have, there was an emperor passing by, some big king, King Rahugana, and he... Just at that moment, one of the bearers of his palanquin had four bearers carrying him, and one had stepped on a thorn or something, so he was, you know, limping, and so the whole thing was like, you know, shaking. So we need another bearer. And he saw this, you know, healthy, kind of a foolish looking guy sitting there on the side, you know, scaring birds. Said, listen, you come here, you take up the palanquin. So he just would go with the flow, so he was taking. But then he was very afraid that he would step on an ant. He didn't want to commit any bad karma, didn't want to hurt even an ant. So he'd be, you know, instead of everyone else is walking left, right, you know, just keeping, you know, the military pace for carrying this palanquin. But he was, you know, you know, jumping around, trying to miss all the ants, so that thing was moving up and down. And he said, what's wrong with you? You fat idiot! You stupid fool! Can't you even carry a palanquin properly? And then Jarabharat, he said, you know, I am not fat and I am not skinny. I am not foolish and I am not intelligent. Because I am not this body. I am the spiritual self within the body. So then the king said, what? Hold it, stop, let me down. Then he said, who are you? You're not an ordinary person. What are you talking? You're talking philosophy, you know, because there's other bears, you know, there's... they don't talk philosophy. And I want to know, what are you telling me? You seem to be some kind of a learned philosophical seer of the truth. So then they had a long discussion which lasted for hours and days. And in the end the king became convinced by Krishna consciousness. And in Jarabharat he was exposed that he was the most elevated spirit, because after going to three births and remembering them all and having gone through all these things, he was profoundly spiritually potent. And so then he accepted him as his guru and he was elevated to this big situation of guiding an entire empire. And then he had to give the proper spiritual instructions from his great wisdom that he had been hiding. Sometimes people hide themselves just to avoid complications. So this planet, apparent according to the Vedas, this is such an amazing story how the emperor of the entire world became a deer and then became a self-realized soul. he became so famous that this planet became known as the planet of King Bharat, or Bharat Varsha. And to this day, well, India is still known as Bharat, but at one point, the whole planet was a part of Bharat. And apparently other planets, when they refer to this, they don't say the planet Earth, they say the planet Bharat. According to the Vedas, there are living entities and intelligent beings on other planets, and they used to come and visit here. Even 5,000 years ago in the Mahabharata, it describes that when Yudhisthira Maharaj performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, the denizens from other planets flew in on special aircraft and participated in the festival, and all the people present could see them, all the public. So because at that time, the ruling people, the leading people of the planet were so spiritual that on a spiritual level, they could relate with the other spiritual entities of higher planets. But right now, since our spirituality has decreased quite a bit on this planet, they're not too interested in coming around. But it says when you all chant Hare Krishna, then sometimes invisibly residents of other planets come from higher planets and they participate in watching you chant. They're very happy to see you engaging in this mantra meditation. Anyway, the main thing here is how to prepare ourselves for when we leave our body. I was discussing with, in one country, there was a group of Hindu leaders approached me and they asked me what to do when there's someone who's on the death row. What should he be told to think of? If he asks, what should I think of when I'm going to be executed? I want to know at that moment, what am I supposed to do? So the Hindu leaders didn't know what to tell, so they asked the Christian brothers, what do you tell? So we tell that you're really innocent, it was your mother and father mistreated you, and it was a problem of society, and things like you're really a good person, even you murdered 25 people, and you're a serial killer, you're actually, you know, it was all right, you know, it was because it was you were never treated properly in your primary school, and this and that. So is that what we should tell them? I said, I don't think that's the best thing to tell that person at that moment. So I advise that what you should tell them to think of God at the moment of death. That's actually what the most important thing is. So tell them to chant the names of God. Tell them to chant, they can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or chant some name of the Lord at that time of death. Then he'll be transferred to that. Maybe just thinking about other things, and he'll end up in that location. So this there's a saying, Narayana Anta Smriti, in the Vedas, that remember Narayana or God Krishna at the time of leaving your body, Anta Smriti, the end. And that will transfer you to Krishna. Now somebody chanting Hare Krishna their whole life, if they're practicing devotional service, the Krishna promises that Yoga Kshemam Baham Yaham, he will provide what they lack and he'll protect what they have. He also said, Name Bhakti Pranashati, my devotee will never perish, that he'll protect his devotee. So at that time, he helps the devotee to remember him. He'll protect. I mean, even Bharat, of course, he was careless, so he became a deer, but he didn't become an ordinary deer. He became a deer who remembered his human life. So that was also a kind of a training program. It was a preparation for his next birth, where he achieved full realization. In Krishna, in the next verse, he also says to Arjuna, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanu smara yudhyacha maya pitamano buddhir mame vaishasi asamsaya. And one before, antakale cha mame va smaran muktva kale varam yaprayati samant bhavam yati nasyat samsaya. Whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So, if we remember Krishna when we're leaving our body, then that's the most auspicious thing. All of us and all of you are going to face situations where you're going to have relatives who are leaving their body, and of course all of us have to leave our body also sooner or later, but also you may have many friends or relatives who are leaving, and at that time if you can help them, you see, most people get totally freaked out because they don't know what death is, and they don't realize that the soul never dies. It's just going to go from one body to the next, but what body it gets, what next birth it will take, that person will take, depends a lot on what the final thoughts are. I mean, that's an opportunity to get an immediate elevation. So somebody's there to help them remember Krishna, it can make all the difference. I have a disciple who is from Buenos Aires, and she and her husband were at that time managing the Hare Krishna restaurant at Soho Street in London. And suddenly she got information that her father's in a coma. So she flew down to Buenos Aires, and at that time her family were all Roman Catholics, and they were not happy that she had become a Hare Krishna devotee. But, you know, they were living with it. But at this time it was very strained, and so when she came into the hospital room and saw the father on the bed, and the whole mother and other brothers and sisters were there, one of the sisters said, you know, now you've come, you're always doing all these spiritual things, you and your Hare Krishna, now let's see if you can do something for our father. Look at him now! What are you going to do? I was like, you know, wow, you're welcome, you know. So I said, well, you know, Hare Krishna, I mean, okay. Let me see what I can do. I just got here. So the father was in a bed in a complete looking very painful, and you know, wasn't talking to anybody, in coma. So then she sat next to the father and started reading the Bhagavad Gita. Just reading the Bhagavad Gita to the father, and then after a period of time, after half hour, 1 hour of reading, then the sister is looking, you know, and says, Mama, you know, mire, look it, father's smiling. And then the father had been like in a painful, gradually by hearing Bhagavad Gita, his whole expression changed. And the mother went over and looked and said, oh, I haven't seen him smile in 10 years. And then I thought, if he's really smiling, I mean, it must be that his soul is in some peaceful situation, otherwise he's smiling. So then as soon as he would stop reading the Bhagavad Gita or chanting Hare Krishna, then again, you know, his face would... So then to keep him smiling, they all took turns of reading the Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna. It was the only thing that worked. And in some cases, I have other history where actually people had miraculous recoveries. But in his case, he didn't ever recover, but he actually died with a smile on his face. And everyone felt that his soul was at peace. I know another one of my godbrothers, he went to see his father, who was told that he only had a few short time to live. And all the relatives are in the room and crying. And you know, and he's telling, you know, take care of the dog, take care of the house, take care of this, take care, you know. And they said, don't worry, everything will be all right, you know, and the whole... And, you know, but nobody was helping him remember God at that time. So then I said, just let me be with my father for 5 minutes. You all have just 5 minutes, I'm going to be alone with him. So then he explained, you know, Dad, look here. you're going to die. Doctors say you're not going to live, but understand that you are not going to, you as a person never die. The soul never dies. You're going to live forever. But you're going to leave this body. So at least one time, just chant this, sing, say these names to God. And he got his father to chant Hare Krishna. And so the father felt really relieved, and he was very peaceful. But then, you know, maybe they thought inside he's signing inheritance or something, you know, or some will. Or I don't know, you know, they start pounding on the door, you know, getting all paranoid. So, but for that moment, he said he actually, his father was like, you know, suddenly getting peaceful, like, wow. But then at once, then everybody else came back into it crying, and the whole thing, you know, then he got all anxiety again. But at least he was able to help, at least right prior to his leaving, to have him remained, be reminded about God. So many different stories like that. Devotees recently told me there was an Indian family. This might just that I saw a disciple in London just yesterday, and she had gone to Malaysia, and her grandmother, who was always doing impersonal yoga, she got a dream of Krishna because they were, somehow she got a dream of Krishna, and she became thoroughly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she starts chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavad Gita up to the last moment of her life. And when she left her body, she had her hands folded and she had a smile on her face. And they said, you know, the doctor said, never saw anybody die with their smile on their face and their hands folded like that. And that's how they cremated her. So devotees, they can help people to deal with this trauma, and it's not the end of the world, it's the end of this particular lifetime, but it's just one. We've gone through this millions of times. But if once we could focus on Krishna, one lifetime, we go back to Krishna. This science is so practical and it's so relevant that the world needs this very much. So many people will be benefit. I mean, just like in the World Trade Center, so many, what, 5,000-6,000 people perished in that horrible incident. What happened, of course, is they had to suddenly all change their bodies. It's not that by being blown up by a bomb they're liberated from the cycle of birth and death. They're still within the cycle. They just have to now untimely change their body and start over. And it's very traumatic. It's traumatic for everybody involved. It's very painful and horrible. But it doesn't, still people go on existing. They don't cease to exist. But when you get someone to practice some Krishna consciousness, to chant, to even read Bhagavad Gita, it may well be that you're definitely helping them, and it may be that this could be their last birth. Krishna lives in a spiritual world which is beyond this material world. This material world is like a prison house. Somehow or another we ended up here in this material world where we are in conditional life. In other places of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said there's two kinds of souls. There's the conditioned soul, which who are called Nitya Badha, eternally conditioned, and there's the liberated souls called Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated. Those who live in the spiritual world are eternally liberated. They never have to fall down from this. It's not like there's a period that you're there for 10 million years and then you come down or something. You're there forever. If they want to come down, for some reason or other, they can come down. But there's no obligation that they have to come down just by some time limit or something. Similarly, we can stay here in the material world forever. It's not that automatically we go back to the spiritual world. If we want to go back, you can go back any time. The reformation of our consciousness that would allow us to go back to the spiritual world is not a very difficult process. So bhakti yoga, a person can reform themselves even in 1 minute just by a change of consciousness. That okay, I surrender, I want to serve God. Everyone in the spiritual world accepts the supremacy, authority, and the service of the Supreme. Somehow we wanted to experience what it was like to be independent, and that's why we're here. So to reform our consciousness and bring it back in harmony with Krishna is done automatically when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna is so powerful that even a little contact with Krishna can have on a tremendous effect. This, every verse in the Bhagavad Gita has got tremendous potency. We're reading these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, because these were spoken by Krishna. So the same vibrations that were spoken by the Supreme Lord has a very powerful potency. Lord Shiva told Parvati the glories of this particular chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8. Remarkably a powerful chapter. So there was, to give an illustration, so there were some families who were practicing Krishna consciousness thousands and thousands of years before. And a boy and girl from these families, they got married. So they knew about Krishna consciousness, but they were experimenting with enjoying life in the material world. Sometimes you can take the video camera and show these effulgent faces of the people here. So I could be sitting in the Arctic Circle and see where the and they went traveling around the world to experience material life, try to enjoy a little bit. So after traveling for some years, you know, they got bored with the whole thing. After, I mean, material world, light world is kind of the same thing going on everywhere, just different styles. But in fact, there's even a verse said in the material world, it's like chewing the chewed. You've already done it so many times, do it again, slightly different way. So they were, you know, bored and frustrated. So they were sitting under a big tamarind tree on a hot summer day, resting from their journey. They didn't know that this particular tree was actually a hangman's tree. It was an execution tree where the government would hang people for theft and whatever they, you know, assassination and things, what you get death penalty for. So hundreds, if not thousands, of people have been over the years, over the century, this big old tree, they've been hung from this tree. So because there's a sudden kind of death, like hanging and sometimes violent deaths, people don't always immediately take the next birth. They may stay in the subtle form as a ghost, because they didn't really change their body in a normal kind of a situation. It was a very sudden type of traumatic way of going. So in this tree there were hundreds of subtle entities, you know, kind of all crowding around this couple, you know, looking at them, you know. They were feeling a little uneasy, you know. I didn't, I mean, this kind of a feeling, you know, like the frustration. So the husband said, you know, I mean, what are we doing with our lives? You know, what is the purpose of life? What is the self? What is the absolute truth? And what is the whole material activities and their results? What does it all mean? And the wife said, you know, when I was young, my father told me a verse. It says the same thing that you're asking from the Bhagavad Gita. He told me this verse, King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma, King Karma Purushottama. All these ghosts, you know, like, listening every word, you know. And she spoke a Bhagavad Gita verse, King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma, King Karma, Purushottama. They were all immediately released from their karmas. In fact, they were like liberated because they're all like listening, you know, waiting. It was getting a little dark, you know, starting to move on. And then all of a sudden she spoke a Bhagavad Gita verse and they were totally focused, and that liberated their consciousness. And there were so many of them that the whole tree kind of couldn't take the that many entities. The tree broke down, and then all of a sudden there was a spiritual airplane came from the spiritual world, and all these ghosts had achieved the spiritual bodies, and they got into the transport, and they were taken back to the spiritual world. And the husband looked at his wife and said, "What did you just do? Did you see that? You just, what did you say?" So I said, "King Tad Brahma, King Adhyatma, King Karma, Purushottama." So, wow, you have really got some potency. You just liberated, this tree was loaded with ghosts, and then you just chanted the mantra and they're all liberated. Well, now I know one thing for sure. Whatever you said, if it could liberate them, it can liberate me. So he began every day chanting like, you know, a mantra. King Tat Brahma,
King Tat Brahma,
King Adhyatma,
King Adhyatma,
King Karma,
King Karma,
Purushottama,
Purushottama,
King Tat Brahma,
King Tat Brahma,
King Adhyatma,
King Adhyatma,
King Karma, Purushottama,
King Karma, Purushottama,
King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma,
King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma,
King Karma, Purushottama,
King Karma, Purushottama,
King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma,
King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatma,
King Karma, Purushottama,
King Karma, Purushottama.
So it's like every day he was chanting and chanting, waiting, okay, you know, one time it's going to click, you know. But you know, Krishna is a person, so he can also decide when he wants to have things happen. So he was just enjoying that this devotee is chanting this. But he was determined. Every day he's chanting and chanting. King Tat Brahma,
King
Adhyatma,
King
Karma Purushottama,
King
Tat Brahma,
King
Adhyatma,
King
Karma Purushottama,
King Karma Purushottama.
So after some time, then like Krishna, Narayana in the Vaikuntha spiritual world, majestic section, He was smiling, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she said, "You know, why are you smiling today? Why, you know, you're kind of like laughing, smiling?" He said, "Well, there's this brahmana and the young brahmana and which is in the universe of the four-headed Brahma, planet Bharat, and he's every day chanting half a verse of Bhagavad Gita, eighth chapter." So I'm just wondering what I should give him as a blessing. And then he calls his assistant Biswakshena and says, "Okay, bring him up. Bring him up, bring his wife up." So then they send down the spiritual airplane and brought them up to the back to the spiritual world. So it's a half a verse. I want to see a whole verse. I said, "That's a..." The whole verse is King Tat Brahma, King Adhyatman, King Karma, Purushottama, Adi Bhutam Cha King Proktam, Adi Daivam King Achyate. Just the half a verse was enough to liberate so many souls. So the potency of this Bhagavad Gita, if you read a chapter a day, you can achieve amazing results. Even a verse a day, it's very powerful. Verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So this young couple, you know, they became instrument. I mean, they learned Krishna consciousness, but then they kind of neglect it for a while. But then it remains with you. Even if you practice some Krishna consciousness, you don't lose it. It stays with you. It's like a permanent asset. But the most important thing is trying to build up as much spiritual strength as you can so that you have the strength to get over all these different tests and be able to remember who at the end of life?
Krishna.
Who?
Krishna.
Who?
Krishna.
So, there was one lady in America. She willed her entire fortune to her cat. $143 million. Created a trust fund and had the lawyers and everything. But officially the owner was the cat, on behalf of the cat, and the lawyers would manage the money. And then when the cat died, there was a big mausoleum and a tomb and whatever. And then after that, the money would go to different charities. He said that the cat was her best friend in her life, so she wanted to make the cat the richest cat in the world. I said, what? You know, she was thinking of the end of her life. Maybe she was thinking, my cat. People don't know the danger, what you're thinking about at the end of life. So multi-millionaire, you know, rich lady, and she's, you know, chasing mice. It sounds funny, but I mean, it's actually deplorable. Well, people, being a human being, we should, you know, we should be concerned not to neglect this opportunity we have to fully develop our consciousness. Why someone would take an animal birth, of course, one thing would be thinking about animal at the end of life. Another thing is to develop a consciousness which is more suited to the next birth being an animal birth than a human being. Like say somebody's drunk all the time or something, and they're just always in a stupor. I mean, they don't want to be very conscious about what's going on. Human being is much more aware of the reality than an animal. Animal's consciousness is, you know, blocked into a limited sphere of understanding. So they would prefer to not have to deal with the problems of life. That's why they're remaining intoxicated. So at time of death, they may get such a birth that they can just, you know, ignorance is bliss, and you know, they don't have to deal with it. They just deal with the priorities of life, of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But that's a big waste. As a human being, we've already gone through 8,400,000 species of life through transmigration, a kind of spiritual evolution of consciousness. And being a human being, we should actually perfect our human life by fully developing our potential. And what Prabhupada was sad about was that even in our modern society of big professors and scientists, but they don't know this basic science of the soul. I don't think there's any university that is being taught in, that this science of the soul is being taught. I don't know. But we're trying to establish a university in Mayapur. We have a number of devotees who have recently gotten their PhDs, and some who are going to get their PhDs soon. They're studying in Cambridge and Oxford, and they'll be the organizers of this university in Mayapur. And definitely in that university we'll also teach the science of the self. But we talked with the Indian government, and they said we can have a status as a deemed university and give our accredited, you know, degrees. So, but I think generally people, I mean, how many go to university? They teach you the science of the self? It's not one of the required curriculum, unfortunately. Although, maybe in some comparative religion studies, at least it's theoretically taught as a concept. But this is like most essential for all of us. I mean, it is life and death matter. Because if we leave our body and we develop our consciousness in a proper way, then next life we don't have to take birth again. Otherwise, you're born again and again and again. And maybe the next birth goes down. And if you go down into animal species, then you know, you may be a dog for all the species of dog, and then gradually move up one after another. You know, it takes a long time to move up in that way. So this is a way you can help yourself, you can help your family members, and you can help many other people to end the cycle of birth and death. And while we're alive, if we know that what the reality is, then it's also, we can be more peaceful and more well-based, well-grounded about what life is. So this is a very profound instructions that Krishna is giving here, revealing how this law of reincarnation works, how we can prepare ourselves. It says, like, if you're walking and you hit your foot or something, you stumble or you're suddenly startled, like a little test, at that moment, what do you say? If you say, reverse, so you might actually be taping over what's already been recorded. I'm not sure, but it's not. Okay. So then, we usually probably kick our foot, ouch! Or something else we can't repeat. But if we're able to train ourselves at any moment, any kind of startling, any danger, have you ever been in a life-threatening situation, car accident, or at that moment, if you can remember Krishna, then it's like Krishna, even that, just that you remembered him then, he's so grateful. That when you were in need, you thought of him. So then he reciprocates with that. He'll protect. And I was in a car accident when the car rolled 7 times, and I was just saying, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And somehow I didn't get injured by Krishna's mercy, but very frightening situation. So I hope that everybody, that you get strength from this, and to some extent lose that the fear of, no, we don't, we're always going to be afraid of, to some extent, or actually fear of death, or rather fear of self-preservation. It's a natural responsibility of everybody. We should try to live as long as we can. At the same time, we shouldn't have this type of obsession with it, or a kind of a fear that makes us unsettled, that sooner or later we do have to go from this body. And if we're spiritually strong enough to deal with it, then there's no problem. Should I open up for question and answers, or do you want one more story from some experience I had? Okay, I have a disciple. I have a disciple who's she's an Italian lady. She's a mother of 2 children, and she was practicing from her home Krishna consciousness, and she had a cancer before she became maybe the disease kind of brought her to look into the life, death, you know, life-threatening diseases. Shocking. So she came to Krishna consciousness after she already had the cancer. And she was practicing, chanting and everything, and she came to me in Mayapur one year and said that she got permission to be initiated, and she said, I don't know how long I have to live. The doctors say I only have maybe 6 months. I want to be initiated before I die. So I gave her initiation, or 2 months or something. So I gave her initiation, and then later on in the year, she went to the hospital feeling very bad, and they said, actually, now it's happened that this cancer has gone all over your blood. It's hopeless right now. There's nothing you can do for me. There's nothing we can do right now. All I can do is maybe give you a shot of morphine or something to take away the pain. So you can't cure me. You can't do anything. Just give you painkillers. You're going to die any minute, hour. So then she said, can I have an ambulance? Ambulance? You're in the hospital. What do you want, an ambulance? Yeah, but you can't help me. I want an ambulance to go to the temple. Because if I can die in the temple, I'll go back to Godhead. I want to go before the deities, and I want to pray, and I want to prepare myself to leave my body. Here, what I'm going to do is you're going to give me some morphine. I'm already goner. I'm going to, so let me go to the temple and die and go back to God. So they said, like a dying wish, okay, they gave her the ambulance, she pulls up into the temple in Milano. And the devotees all surprised, why is the ambulance pulling up, siren? And then she came and she said, this is the thing. They said, I could die any minute, and I want to come and see the deities. And so they took her in, and she saw the deities, and then they gave her a place she could stay. And this is like a temple. Maybe need to have a hospice type of thing. People want to leave their body. In Mayapur, we're going to build one. We have some makeshift, but we're going to build a nice one. And suddenly, we're going to the temple. She felt better. And the last, she just stayed there. She just thought, okay, now I have to focus, I'm leaving now, I can't do anything more for my husband or my children or anything else. Now I have to just prepare myself that I'm going back to Krishna. I'm leaving this material world. So she just, every day was reading and hearing tapes and just like really focusing, chanting her Hare Krishna. And then after about 8 days, then she got like a reprieve from 8 days, and painlessly was practicing. But then on the eighth day of being in the temple, she suddenly got symptoms, very severe symptoms, and she knew that it was time. So the devotees that were helping her, they all came around, and there was maybe 20 devotees in the room doing a big kirtan, chanting. And just at that moment, Madhusavita Prabhu was one of the ISKCON gurus. He said he had been driving from Belgium down to Italy. Normally he stops in France for the night, but he decided to drive straight through. And he just happened to come in the room at the time when this kirtan was going on. And he saw the lady, he told me, I saw her chant Hare Krishna, open her mouth, and that was her last breath. I shouted out Hare Krishna at the same time everyone was chanting. He said, if I could have a wish to leave my body, with a group of devotees chanting and being able to focus your mind on Krishna and leaving, I couldn't think of a more ideal way of leaving this world. So here was. No, we're still here in the material world, struggling, whatever. But she was able to focus her mind completely on Krishna and peacefully leave this world. So someone who leaves like that, remembering Krishna, Krishna says, without a doubt, says, without doubt, asamsaya, without a doubt, beyond a doubt, they're going to achieve me. So I had that personal experience, and I remember when she sent me a fax that she was going through the situation. I told her what to do, how to meditate on Krishna at that time, where the flower garlands from the deities, the prasadam, and take charanamrita every day, and all the things she could do. And so I'm very proud that she was able to be such a mahayogini. So brave to face that danger and then be able to go with the support of the devotees like that. I had another situation where there was a small child, 9 years old, he had a cancer tumor, and then the whole temple was praying for him to recover, and the mother went, the mother was supposed to go to the hospital when they were operating, they were going to do they did a biopsy, and it was malignant. So then they're going to operate. She didn't go to the hospital. She stayed. I didn't stay in the temple. What can I do there? Let me pray to Krishna. It's all now in the hands of God. And then the doctor went into the operating room, and all the devotees are outside. Some were there helping, and he came out. He said, "Remarkable, remarkable. I'm going to see that." The, what do you call it? The College of Physicians. Look at
here, the x-ray, it shows right here there's a tumor. When it opened up, there's no tumor. Nothing. Remarkable.
You know, it's like, you know, they went off. It's like a miracle. Just that the boy completely, the tumor was gone. Even after all the thing, the biopsy, everything was malignant, and the big tumor, when it was somehow, it just disappeared. So sometimes that happens, but that doesn't always happen. So that's like Krishna consciousness. I find very exciting because really helping people to deal with the challenges in their life, and it can make a very big difference. Even one person, like when we're doing Harinam yesterday in Oxford Street, I was thinking, you know, that these terrorists, they don't like materialism, so then it's like bombing people, but it doesn't really change anything. I said, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're giving love bombs. So love. But it can have a remarkable effect on people. So thank you very much. Sorry for being speaking too long. Any question anybody has before your feast? Okay, he had his hand up first, and you in the back there. Of course. Yeah, I mean that's like your final exam. That. So if you pass your final exam, you know you can. But there are many other tests before that, and you can. If you pass those tests, then you can already have a spiritualized consciousness while living. There's a verse in the Vedas that says. Iha yasya hare dase karmana manasa gira nikalas vaste vasta su jivan mukta sa uchite. That if you use your mind, your words, and your activities in the service of God, of Hari, of Krishna, in this lifetime, then by utilizing all your activities, because they're all absorbed in a spiritual contact with the Supreme Lord, that then you'll be, even while you're alive, you'll be liberated. Jivan mukta. Jivan means alive, mukta means liberated. Liberated while alive. So we want to teach people how to spiritualize their consciousness. Actually, Narada Muni, he was chanting Hare Krishna, and when he died, it was like a lightning hit. He told his disciple how it happened, that he was chanting and meditating, and then all of a sudden it was like a bang, like hit by a lightning, and he was illuminated, and he could see his spiritual form, his eternal blissful spiritual form, and he could see the material body down there, but there was like no pain, he was immediately liberated, and it was just a natural transition. So we want that's also the perfectional way of it happening. But even while alive, like we saw Srila Prabhupada, everything he did was offered to Krishna, everything that Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was doing was dedicated, and he was a liberated person even while living in the material world. Just coming in his presence, you could feel a difference because everything he was doing was dedicated to Krishna. So we like to train people to be liberated from the karmas while living in the material world so that they can be at peace with themselves and be liberated and be able to help others. And then in that case, for them there's no apprehension where they're going to go. But even if someone's not at that level, but that somehow they can muster up. You know, even if someone doesn't do all the preliminary tests, but if you really cram and do the final exam right, then you can still get through it, you know. So, or there's some like bonus kind of opportunities. But if you're Krishna conscious your whole life, then Krishna also helps you at the time of death, so you will easily be able to remember him. So it works both ways. You had a question? Or was it the same one?
Well, you basically answered my question, because I was going to say, if you haven't been Krishna conscious all your life, and at the moment, at those crucial moments of death, and you do become Krishna conscious, well, you get your independence.
Yeah. But don't think, you know, some people say, okay, then I can, you know, I'll just leave it till when I die, you know. You try to cheat Krishna, you know, it doesn't work then, you know. I'll just, at the last minute, you know, you'll probably think of something else. And some people that just almost accidentally, or by a friend, or by someone else's intervention, they start thinking about Krishna. They got delivered. There's many cases. The Ajamila, he was a good boy in his childhood, but then he married a kind of a professional lady, and a prostitute, so he was to maintain her. He didn't have any normal income, so he became a criminal, and he was robbing, and he was definitely headed toward a hellish birth. But he named his son Narayana. So every time he would be calling his son, Narayana, come here, come on, sit here, Narayana. Narayana, let's go and take prasada, you know, take food. Narayana, let's go for a walk. Narayana, come on! So it's all day he's saying, Narayana, Narayana. That's the name of one of the names of Krishna. So by saying Narayana, Narayana, he was actually getting purified. It was totally accidental. It wasn't like a conscious, but he was still getting the benefit. Maybe somebody has names that's one thing they do in India. Many times they name their children, that used to, now it's out of fashion, but it used to be they would name their children some name of Krishna, or one of his avatars, or one of the energies of Krishna to the ladies. We give spiritual names to people when they take initiation. So there are cases like that where people, there's a lady who had a parrot that would always chant Rama, Rama, and she would talk with her parrot, and she got hit by lightning after saying Rama, Rama, and she was also liberated, and she didn't have a clue that, I mean, she was just like. So there are examples like that. Any other question? You thought of something. What's your name?
Hui.
Hui. You are today? I talked to you today.
You know how in Christianity they say you must name God's name there?
Right.
And you can say Krishna anytime you want to. What's the difference?
Well, that's also there in the Vedas, that you shouldn't use, in fact, use not name of God in vain. And because of that, when Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, none of the priests would chant the name of God. The only time they would say it out loud was when they were bathing in the Ganges, because they considered that it was a pure place. So there was a lot of restrictions on chanting the name of God. What Lord Chaitanya did is that he said that this actually was too restricted. Chanting in vain, means to offensively say the name of God. There are some offensive ways you can say it. So we're also trained that we should avoid the offenses to the name of God. But Lord Chaitanya specifically said that if we chant the name of Krishna on his instruction, that he'll protect us from these offenses. That's why before we chant Hare Krishna, to avoid any kind of offense that maybe we're too familiar or not in the proper consciousness, we say the mantra Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Bhakta Vrinda. So that's like a little secret, because he ordered us that you should chant it, and I will take the responsibility if you chant at my order. So if you want to be free of that danger, then chant Lord Chaitanya's name and Hare Krishna. But we're not, we're training people not to chant, you know, in other words, don't chant the name of God in vain, but what about chanting it in devotion? You know, it's like people sometimes, like they swear. Yeah. I'm going to swear, so. But they say the name of God, you know, just like a curse word, or, you know. And so that kind of thing. But there's a legitimate way of chanting the name of God. Christianity also says, oh, the Lord's Prayer by Lord Jesus, so our Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the name is very sacred. And even I was just to study a little bit of Solomon mysticism, and he used the holy names as his meditation. And that's how Solomon became such a powerful king in the biblical history. He would had the whole method of chanting names of God and making mandalas and yantras with names of God. So it's part of the Christian tradition. What happened? The rabbis, they would chant these names of God, but they don't tell the normal people. It'd be like secret mantras. So Lord Chaitanya said, there are secret mantras. We also give out secret mantras to people who are initiated for some time, but the Hare Krishna mantra was made public domain, so to speak, was made public for everybody. That's why it's such an important mantra, because everybody can chant that and there's no restriction. Lord Chaitanya said the difference between a mantra, a hidden mantra, and the name can be chanted. But we should avoid the offenses. Okay, if there's more questions, I'll be here at your service. You can come and approach me there. I don't know where. Thank you for your association, and I hope that we can keep in contact. I come here sometimes. If there's any service I can do, I always like to help any devotees any way I can.